EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
County dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are listening from. How are you doing? I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. Tonight's episode we are joined by Leslie in Australia, and his experiences with ETs go back to 1992 when he was 20 years old. Leslie up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal, and if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Leslie, and welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Nick.
Great to have you with us today, and you're calling from Australia.
In New South Wales. Yes, I'm in sort of a rural area now.
A nice rural area under the stars.
I think I get to see the Milky Way up here. So it's on the mountain, so it's really nice up here.
Beautiful, clear skies. All right. Now, Leslie, you're going to be sharing some of your experiences. Now, would you like to start at the very beginning for our listeners, please?
Sure. First known experience that I'm completely aware of, and before this all happened, I was just I was a big metalhead back in 1992, and I like sci-fi, adventure shows and stuff like that, but I was actually quite dismissive of the UFO aliens, and I'll see this as more as ridicule. I'll follow the corporate media sort of line of, ridiculing it, showing it, ridiculing it to a certain degree. Anyway, first known experience was in 1992, 20 years old, and I was living in Surry Hills, Melbourne, Victoria, in Australia. One night, just laid down, mattress was on the floor, then footsteps surrounded me, and I was thinking, WTF, I couldn't move, couldn't see anything, it was dark. I was living in the garage at the time, and because I was actually a singer as well in a metal band. We used the garage as a place to jam. So I was just sleeping on a mat on the floor. I felt like I didn't want to move. And then all of a sudden, I felt scurrying around or something coming into my room. A whole lot of felt like children coming into my room and walking around me while I couldn't move. It was pitch black in my room, but I actually didn't want to open my eyes anyway. just the way I felt, which was strange. And then something came very close to me, and they jabbed, felt like they jabbed a pen in the side of my head, like a ballpoint pen is what it felt like. And all of a sudden, it gushed electricity all through my body, like violently. And I was violently shaking. Noise was just coming out of my mouth, just sporadically. Instant, I blacked out. And I woke up the next day thinking, what just happened? Crikey, Jesus, and it was just too weird to tell anyone. So kept it quiet. After that, it was different. I'll be just be laying in my bed. Short time after this happened, and I didn't tell anyone. I was just laying in my bed, and I feel like something grabbed me on the arm, grabbed me on the leg, and I would get this vibration effect, right, and then I'll be paralyzed in bed. And I'm thinking, well, what's happening? I couldn't see anything, even though it was dark. So then I started sitting with the lights on to see what was coming in the room, but I could never see anything. Like something would grab my head on the side of the head, or my leg, my arm. And this happened like 2, 3, 4 times a week for like months. This kept on going for months and months, and I was shitting myself. I was thinking, what the hell is this? Sitting on my mat, scared shitless, right? And then something strange happened. Anyway, one night after experiencing these vibrations 3 to 4 times a week, I was laying in bed, I was asleep, and I woke up to a grate leaning over me. And it was telepathically saying, don't be afraid, we're not going to harm you. In intense, euphoric, positive experience, I woke up. I couldn't believe it, what I saw. I saw this glowing white grey alien with a distinct arm and eyes, 2 dots for a nose and a tiny slit for a mouth, and a typical sized small chin with a large head. I was thinking, I know that video. That's that video Communion at the video rental store. This was back in the day of DVD and VHS. So I went down and I looked at the cover, and the cover was slightly different. It had a humanized nose and a humanized mouth. So I hired it, and I was just shocked, like what I was seeing, because this first scene was felt similar to what I had felt in regards to, you see Christopher Walken, he's sitting in his chair, and this alien sticks a pen to his head, and he starts, just everything was like very similar, different but similar. And not only that, the grey aliens were sort of more like what I'd seen in the film Communion, in regarding they had 2 dots for a nose, basically, and just a tiny slit for a mouth. I was thinking, what the hell is going on? Again, typical encounters in Canada, the vibrations and all that. I told no one. I was just like, no, this is just too weird. A year later, 1993, my mother, who's a psychologist, approached me and asked if anything strange was happening to me. I let it out, told her I was encountering aliens, even though, I never left the house. I've never had the perception of being abducted. There's always something would happen in my room. She told me my younger sister perceived that she was being attacked by ghosts and pressing down on her chest, etc. And my mother had similar experiences to mine, where she had like the vibration effect. But this is particularly when she was younger. And when she was a child, at that time she had perception of being able to levitate while under the vibration effect, or something similar. And now I'm thinking, is this sleep paralysis what I have? Am I crazy? Is that what it is? And I was thinking, could the Communion cover trigger something? But the other thing was, the accounts of other people's was more in line with what I've always seen in the what I've seen in that night, glowing like grey alien. And one more thing, something because I keep forgetting, but in regards to when I saw the grey alien, it felt like it was smiling at me, and it was giving kind of telepathic positive vibes or something like that. That's what it was like. It wasn't frightening, scary. Even years later, I drew the picture on this website that I have, which I've made 20 years ago. It's just this relic. And when I show people that photo, people, find it scary, a bit intimidated by it. But I can't see it that way, because the way it was looking at me, or he was looking like a typical grey alien, but again, it felt it was smiling, and that was so it was more overpowering than its actual look. That's the way I could describe it. Anyway, I had regular experiences. Again, 1993, I'm driving my friend home. We're at the drummer's house, and he didn't have a car, so I drive him back home to Blackburn. And this is we're coming from the Dandenongs, or the I can't exactly remember the suburb, but it was east of Melbourne. And I'm driving him home, and all of a sudden I see a giant, tall, too thin alien walk across the road. It was bizarre. It was in the distance. Its skin was looked like it was wrinkly, and it didn't look like it was wearing anything either. It was just that it was brownish in colour. It looked wrinkly, it looked old, and again, it was dark, sort of driving through semi-bush areas, coming out from the outskirts of the Dandenongs. And surprisingly, and I looked it up on the map, and this was actually close to Westall, believe it or not, the Westall suburb in Melbourne. But anyway, and I turned to my band member, and I said, did he see that? Did he see an alien just walk across the road? Again, just walked across the road, didn't look at us, just walked straight across the road. The band member, or the guitarist, said, yeah. I said, great, this is great. I've got somebody I can, relate to. I can, tell my story. This thing's real. So I started explaining everything that was happening to me. And all he was just going, yeah. And every single time he said, yeah. It was like just after, forget everything I just said. So then I sort of stopped, and I was just noticing him. He was just looking at the road. And usually, we have a chat about, music or this and that. But he was just dead silent, just looking straight at the road. I don't know if he was in shock. I don't know. But he ended up just saying nothing for the whole trip. And by the time we got back to his place, he opened the door, got out, and I said, hey, mate, do you remember what we saw? And he looked at me and goes, yeah. He pointed at me and said, yeah. And then he blankly got up and he left. And I thought the reaction was all very bizarre and strange. Yeah, it was a very bizarre reaction. And so then the next band jam session, he comes out and he goes, he tells me, I go up and talk to him, how's it going, blah, blah. And he just started talking about, about music and that. And I said, hey, mate, do you remember what just happened? And he sort of went, yeah. Didn't want to deal with it. And the way he said it as well, was like, nah. Strange, because this guy is a really nice guy. He's very approachable. He was a little bit more out there than the other band members. And again, he just didn't want to deal with the conversation. And the funny thing was, years later on Facebook, I ended up connecting with him again. And I said, do you remember that thing we saw? And he goes, what thing? And he says, oh, I can't remember that. It was just that incident was just bizarre. So now I've seen a grey, and I've seen this being that was too tall, too thin. And this was back in 1993. So then following 1994, the band sort of broke up. We sort of made another band. Didn't go through. I ended up moving to Seymour in Victoria, which at the time, unknown to me, was right next to an army base. There the encounters sort of intensified, but they sort of changed in a strange way. Like, for once, I could almost see them in the house. And, I'm just thinking, am I seeing things? Am I seeing things? This looks strange. What's going on? And so I thought, I'm going to try and reach out in the only way I can. And this was during the day, and I said to my friends, like, I'm going to crash for a couple of hours. I'm a bit tired. And this is a house full of people as well. And I went into the room, laid down, and I said out loud, but quietly, so none of the headbangers in the other rooms could hear me. I said, if there's aliens here, could you give me a sign? So I laid down, and within like 10 seconds, my body started vibrating. And both my legs were picked up, and I started being dragged around the room. And then I blanked out, and I woke up, and I'm thinking, shit, what was that? And then another incident at Seymour stands out was I was laying again, you know, as headbangers do, laying on a mat on the floor, and I get lifted out of bed in a way. It was strange. It was like I was being gently lifted out, and then I blanked out. I woke up in a car. What felt like I was in a car, and sitting right in front of me were people I knew. It's a lady friend and a male friend. And the male friend was driving, and you know, I was in the back seat in the middle, and it just looked surreal going through or gliding through the, I don't know, it felt like I was gliding over the forest, but it just felt very strange. And passenger, who was this lady I know, just turned around and looked at me, and I blanked out. Then I woke up what it felt like in a aircraft hangar, and I was looking ahead, and there was a group of men, and they were just like, you know, casually dressed, they looked like dads, you know, just casually dressed men in a circle talking. One of them looked at me. I blanked out. And I woke up right in front of the front door of the house, and then I was lifted back, levitated back, so I was horizontal. And then I blanked out. And then I found myself being lifted back into bed. I blanked out. And then I woke up thinking, what the hell just happened? And that was very real. Everything that felt, didn't feel like a lucid dream or whatever. It just felt real. And from there, I moved to Footscray in 1995. I moved to Footscray. The vibrations or the paralysis effect, whatever, all died down. Almost completely, until I was just having these experiences once a year. It was bizarre, but it wasn't the intense vibration or experience. It was something a little bit different. In 95, it was a strange one where I was in bed, and I, for some reason, I was so sick in the stomach. I just sort of was up, everything was, I was disorientated, I was sick. And I sort of got up out of bed, and I saw one of the housemates, and I said, and the housemate said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "No, I'm sick. I'm really sick." It felt like this gut wrenching sickness in my stomach. And then I found myself in bed, like nothing had happened, and I was fine. I wasn't feeling sick or anything. And then later, I went to the housemate and asked, "You know, what just happened?" And they said, "Oh, I don't know what you're talking about." I was like, "What?" I thought, this is another, obviously looking at me in a strange way. And from around about this time, I was actually more open about my experience. I'll just talk about them. I'm just trying to get information from other people, seeing what they know, et cetera. Anyway, following from that, I was just getting minor experiences, some of those sickening experiences, some other strange ones. So that was about it. And then in 2000, I'd moved to St Kilda. I was staying at my parents' house. Yeah, they had a big house in St Kilda. So I was staying up in the bedroom up on the second level. There's a nice little balcony in that. I was just sort of laying in bed reading, and I heard it like a scuffle outside. And I went out to the balcony. I had a look, and there was these small, say, 3 to 4 foot shadowy beings. They sort of nimbly jumped over the railings, and they were looking at me. And I thought nothing of it. I thought, "Oh, stuff this. It's going to go, you know," I thought, "whatever." And so, as you do, and I went and lay down, and I'm just going to ignore this. And then something inside my head said, "Get up." And I ignored it. And it said, "If you don't get up, you're going to hear a loud noise in your ear." And yeah, you know, I'm actually half thinking, I'm thinking this. Okay. It was weird. And all of a sudden, I was just laying there ignoring it. Then all of a sudden, this unbearable noise started slowly getting louder and louder and louder in my left ear. It was like unbearable. And I'm thinking, "Oh my God, Jesus." And I had no choice but to get up. And so I got up, and there was nothing in the room. There was nothing in the room. There was no one there, but they were there. They were invisible. Okay. And then they said, first thing was, "Turn on your computer." So I was like, "Okay, whatever." I turned on the computer, and the computer took about like 10 minutes to boot up. So I'm standing there awkwardly while this the computer's booting up, and I asked, "What are you doing?" And they said I was being watched. All right, I think, okay, whatever that means. Okay, fair enough. Then the computer turned up, booted up normally. I can't really remember what I did with the computer after that. But then they wanted a CD rewritable of mine because I had back in the day, you know, we didn't have a portable thumb drive. We had we mostly used CD, and a lot of my DVDs were backed up onto CD. You know, we used to back then, you know, used to play with the software and all that. Set all these CDs all over the place, but in particular they wanted a CD rewritable of mine. I can't exactly recall what was on it, but I think I had like software which I used for like encoding videos. You know, we used to like rip DVDs, extract the audio and video from an MPEG-2 format or a DVD format into like a DivX format or an Exvid format. And we used to change the audio to MP3 so we can condense a DVD down from like over 4,000 megabytes to 700. Anyway, so I had all this software which I used. I think I had some backups for like the website I made back in 2000. So they told me to take it outside. So I said, yeah, okay, all right. All right. And this is the time when my mother had a back injury, so she couldn't walk up the stairs. My parents were both sleeping in the lounge room. Anyway, I walked past them into the laundry, went out the laundry, and they said, oh, don't go that way. You can go that way if you want. And I thought, okay. So I just kept on going. And I noticed the back door or the back gate was locked. So I had to climb over the back gate. So I start walking down St. Leonard Street and St. Kilda. And all of a sudden, I see a man walking in front of me. It's like a tallish man, middle-aged, like unshaven. It looked almost Mediterranean, a bit lanky. He was walking towards me, and he was like stumbling. And this is what it's like in St. Kilda. There's a lot of bars and pubs around. And as I was approaching him, I could smell alcohol. Really, really stunk of alcohol. And as he walked past, he murmured this inhuman voice, this sort of grumble. And I thought, that's weird. And when I passed, the voices said, that's one of us. And I thought, okay, all right, whatever. And so I kept on walking down the street. Then they told me to put the CD down and put it on top of this bin. You know, there was just a little bit of paper rubbish on top, so I put it on top. Covered it over, and I start walking back home. And as I was walking back home, the same guy was walking back the other way. And I thought, this is interesting. It was creepy. So I'm walking along, and then this time he didn't think of alcohol. He wasn't staggering or anything. He just walked past me normally and didn't say anything. He just had this straight, how could I say, expressionless face as he just walked past. And I thought, okay. Whatever. Anyway, I went back upstairs and we started talking about certain things, started talking about the website I made, the websites I go to, anything spectacular. We're also talking a little bit about molecular nanotechnology in regards to this theory that this is how their craft are built. They're not actually built, they're grown through by, using molecular machines. And I thought, one of the websites was sort of based on that, just a little talk towards it. Didn't allude that they did use this technology, but they seemed slightly amused. And I said, what do you think of it? They said, it's historic. I said, okay, whatever that means, okay. And it's definitely now a relic, but because I haven't changed it or I haven't touched it for, like, as I said, for 20 years. And picking up feelings from them as well, it was very hard to interpret. And then I went and sat, sitting on the bed, and then everything just went quiet, and I was flying through space. Now, this is the most bizarre thing that happened to me during all this time. It was completely bizarre, and it's very hard to describe. Sitting on the bed, and I'm flying through space. And like on Star Trek, you know, you see the stars going past you and all that, seeing all the stars. Watching the stars go by, I come up to this planet. It's a blue-green planet. It was, I can't really remember any clouds. It was a very green planet, and it wasn't Earth. And then I zoomed off, and I'm heading what I presume back to Earth. It's really, really hard to describe because of what happened. In this whole, from there it gets fuzzy because basically from there I was shown everything. Everything what they were doing. I was flying through space and I came up to the planet. And then I came from the planet back to Earth, and Earth was different. It was like there was just pipes everywhere, and it, just people just normally casually walking around. It was strange. Like everything was built with by pipes or something. Or where I was, or maybe it was sort of some strange industrial area. And then from there, what I can remember, it all became peaceful. It was all peaceful, and I was like out, this time again, I was out in space, and it was like these symbols were around. And again, they were sort of hieroglyphic symbols, you know, gold in color. And I was just floating around or floating towards me. And I got to this point where I understood everything, or how their technology worked, or a part of it. And it was like I was in some sort of intergalactic internet or something. And I got to choose something I could look at. Okay. So I chose a planet or a race or a civilization that was sort of on par with, you know, our civilization. I just wanted to see what one of their cars looked like. And then from there, so basically I was in some sort of like interface where I was able to instantly find out this information. And apparently I found this information, but from there started to intensify. All of a sudden the symbols started coming, flying or coming towards me quicker and quicker. And then I got to the point where I understood everything that they were doing and why they were doing it. And while it was going on and I'm seeing what their plan was, I was going, yeah, that's fucking great. Woohoo. I was like going woohoo, like Homer Simpson, right? I was going, woohoo, this is great. You know, wow, fantastic. And then I got to this point where so much information was being pumped into my head. I started going, I understand. And once I said, I understand three times, this voice in my head said, now we're going to make you forget that. And I was like, what? I was trying so hard. Like just, there was a little bit of something right there. I'll just hold on to that and I could remember it. I should be able to remember it. But I couldn't. It just, everything just went out of my head, just disappeared. Things I can remember from that was the feeling straight through the whole episode where I went through it from a calm state, looking around on this intergalactic interweb, whatever, and all the having this intense brain download. Again, but the things I can remember, planet coming to Earth, where there was all these sort of strange pipes around, the intergalactic interweb, and again, going back to the feeling that like everything's cool, you know, we've got you covered type of impression. And but there was something else which sort of made me change my thinking recently because of research this a little bit more in detail. Something that really struck out about the whole thing, a vision of looked like they were in a park, or this little girl was in a park. And this vision of a little girl in a little blue dress, you know, a cute little girl, curious little girl, just being a little kid. And that was it. And then also there was another vision of me looking again like a park, looked like there was like tables there so people could have a meal or something. And there was a sort of a rocky area that looked like it was cut out. And there was people casually walking around. And I got no idea what any of that was about. So a few things happened like during the night. They sort of did some basic experiments on me just, you know, just in regards to, you know, stupid mundane things. I feel nothing like, you know, bringing out some strange instrument and sticking it in my head or something. I sort of realized I was also in like a semi-control. I wasn't in full control, but I had probably about 80% control of what was going on. And I just thought, I'll just go with the flow for this whole thing. And then after the brain download, I ended up, after the brain download, we just talked. It was just basically, it was just mundane, more mundane talking, and then I had to go. I felt awkward, very awkward through the whole night. It just felt really weird and bizarre and awkward. And they said all of a sudden a strange noise started emanating outside the outside the balcony. And this was during the day now, and this is daytime, morning. And, sun's out, and I still hear my parents are not up. And then all of a sudden I hear this whoop outside. And they said, a UFO, do you want to go see it? And I said, I couldn't be bothered. I just felt really awkward. I don't know why I said that, but I just said, okay, I don't care. Just all I'm going to go out and see is this flying disc outside, you know? So I ended up, after that, so they were leaving. But as they were leaving, I had this sort of strange sort of talking in my ear. This is very bizarre. I don't know what it was saying. It was just some sort of very strange speech going on, and it almost sounded like Smeagol from Lord of the Rings. Very strange, unique voice, and then that was it.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of high strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange.
And then from 2003 to this year, things just had, again, these minor experiences where it would only happen like once or twice a year. And that was it. And I didn't get that heavy vibration effect. Anyways, what happened was, why am I getting into all this now? Because I've just done any research whatsoever. I haven't read any books in the subject. I've just ignored it. All I was thinking, they're just sort of space aliens, you know. They're just coming, they're visiting, or they're like an intergalactic David Attenborough or something, you know. I don't know. So I never bothered examining it. I actually thought until recently the implants was a joke, and then but I still, you know, once a blue moon I would watch something in regards to UFOs or aliens, but very rarely. I was more interested in, say, music and geopolitics or something, more in that line. And then I was watching a video, an interview with Whitley Strieber, and about his experience. And then the subject of implants came up. And I jokingly put my hand to my left ear, and I've got this little bump in there. And I jokingly said, that's my implant, where I've got the cyst. Well, I assume I've got this cyst. And Whitley Strieber then put his hand up the exact same spot and said, that's my implant. I nearly fell off the couch. I'm thinking, geez, is that a bloody implant in my ear? From there, I just went hardcore into UFO research. I even in August went to Australian UFO Festival in Cardwell in Queensland, which was interesting. I met an interesting UFO researcher, which actually put me on some directions to help me understand, you know, what's going on, which, you know, one step forward is two steps back, as we know. And so I've been doing all this hard, this intense research, and then something strange happened on late August. I was lying in bed and I felt the dread sleep paralysis or experience. You know, when you just lay there and you can't move. You're not feeling any pain. You can't move. You might be able to open your eyes. I was opening my eyes. I couldn't see anything. I just couldn't move. And I felt a dread. And then I felt it sounded like 2 steps outside my bedroom window. And I said, okay. So I'm just laying there for about 5 minutes and then I was able to move. Okay. Then I fast forward to September 9th. I was hiking in Mount Barney. And then I thought I'll hike Mount Lindsay. So that's on the New South Wales-Queensland border. So I go to, so I'm driving there and I couldn't find any suitable campground. So I thought I'll just go to the border and just crash in the car. So I drove to the where the border crossing is, where you, and that's the access to Mount Lindsay. So at 10 p.m. I lay down in the car seat, and then I was trying to get to sleep. Then all of a sudden I got these intense vibration experience again, which I hadn't had for like decades. This, usually the experiences were the sickly one or the dreaded one, where you just can't move, and I was getting full intense vibration experience. My whole body straightened up. My I was still wearing my hiking boots unlaced, and they were tipping the roof of the bottom of the console. As I was, my body was straightening out, then it stopped. I thought, well, that's weird. Okay. I was looking around outside. I couldn't see anything. So I wanted to sleep because I wanted to get up early to go to climb Mount Lindsay. I went to sleep, and then I woke up at 10 a.m. It was like 12 hours. I thought that was weird, you know, because I was hoping to wake up at like 6 or latest at 8. And anyway, so that was that. It started to get a little bit more strange. 23rd of September, I was hit with the vibrations. Speaking, it was difficult, you know, trying to see something's there. Then I tried the bedside light, and the light wouldn't work. I thought, that's weird. So then I went and picked up the phone, and the phone wouldn't work. You know, you get the phone will illuminate. And it didn't illuminate. It was just this sort of blank screen. And this is like while I'm vibrating, I picked up the phone, just forcing myself doing it. And then it stopped. I thought, okay. Again, that was strange. And then on October 11th, it happened again. And this is strange. This is bizarre what happened. So I went to bed around about probably 1:30, well, 1:32. And I shut down the TV, and you long press the power button, and it will give you an option. Do you want to shut down the TV? And I said, yeah, so I shut it down. So it shut down completely. So I get up and I go to bed. And then about 15 minutes later, the TV turned back on. I went, bloody, what the hell? So I got up, you know, and so I just jumped on YouTube, and I just thought, well, I'll just stay up a bit longer and I'll watch a few more videos. And so I stayed up till about 3 a.m. And then I went back to bed, laid down, and then I got hit with the intense. So let me digress a bit. Yeah, it was a little bit stranger. Sorry. Tuesday, October 11th, what happened was when the TV came on, I had also this intense feeling that I should go outside. This is in the middle of the night. Just go outside. So I did. So I went outside and I'm thinking, am I supposed to do something? You know, what the hell? Whatever. And nothing happened. So I came back in and watched a few videos and I went back to bed. And then I got hit with the vibrations around about 4 a.m. And the vibrations stopped after about 20 seconds. And then it happened again. And I'm going, what the hell? And then just again, the vibrations just stopped after about 20 seconds. And I thought, geez, what's going on? And then it happened again. And it started getting uncomfortable, like, and annoying. And then on the fourth time, and I'm trying my light, the light's not working. I'm trying my phone's not working. And I'm going, what the hell's going on? Fuck it, I'm getting up. I'm going to have a cigarette. So I force myself up and the vibrations start to sort of subside. And I'm walking around the house and I'm trying to turn all the lights on, but the lights won't turn on. And I'm thinking, what the hell? So then I'm walking through the house and then I try to find my cigarettes. I think they're on the coffee table. So I went and looked at the coffee table. I couldn't see them. It was dark. So I went and tried the lights in the kitchen, and they wouldn't work. Well, that's strange. Well, what's going on? And so then I walked out outside, and whenever I looked at a solar light, which were on in the corner of my eye, when I looked in them directly, they'll turn off. They'll dim off. And then when I would look away, the light would come back on. Well, that's weird. And then I woke up in bed, and I'm thinking, you know, what the hell is that? So I'm looking online, looking into astral projection and lucid dreaming and out-of-body experiences. And I thought, okay, all right, I'm going to try something different. This happens, I'm going to try something different. Then 2 weeks after that, it did. So this has sort of been happening almost every 2 weeks, now. And so, again, I was laying in bed and I got the vibration sensation. And I had put a clothes peg on my bedside table, and I moved it. And obviously the light wouldn't work. So I got up, so I'm thinking, okay, I'm in this astral travel universe, whatever. And so I walked through the corridor, and I looked down towards the living room, and a light was on. So I walked down into the living room, and instead of the light, which is in the middle of the ceiling, there was these like floodlights. Four floodlights on the side. You know, they're sort of acting very strangely, or sporadically. And, you know, I thought I might try a few things, you know, so I tried floating, you know, just if I can float, but I couldn't float. So that was weird. All right. I couldn't fly. I felt like an idiot trying it. And then I went up to the chin up bar. You know, I thought, I'll try some chin ups, you know. So I tried a few chin ups. And they were super easy. I was incredibly light. And so I got down, and then I sort of walked back into the middle of the room to try something different. But then everything became hazy, and then I found myself in bed again. And, yeah, that was the sort of the last experience that I've had so far that I can recall. But I got a few other today as well on top of that in regards to what's happened what I've observed in the past. For example, when I was in the scouts, a strange incident that I felt occurred. Well, camping, being out in along the Yarra Valley, there was a campground for, I think, specifically for scout training, et cetera. And I was walking with a group of scouts. I was a bit young. And, you know, the older scouts were at the front just yelling on. And as we walked past a toilet block, one of the scouts came out from the side and said, there's aliens behind the toilet block. And I looked around at him and I laughed. And everyone seemed to ignore him or didn't hear what he said. And I looked around him and laughed. And he had this sort of strange, you know, look on his face. And he was like a serious face. And this kid wasn't a kid who joked or anything, but I can remember. And I thought, okay. So later that night, his father came and picked him up. And I remember going up to the car and talking to him, but I can't remember what was. But I thought it was very bizarre. And obviously the next day I was talking about it with other scouts and said, you know, saying it's aliens, maybe we'll have a look. We'll see aliens. So all of us, you know, went around to have a look, and there was nothing there. That was strange. Another strange thing is my mum came up from Melbourne to stay for a couple of weeks with one of my aunties. And she said, she told me, I'm actually quite open about, you know, the alien subject. I don't really care. I just tell people out of the blue. And my mum, she said that one of my dad's mother's ex-husband's sister, she had experiences with aliens, and she claimed the aliens fixed her heart. And it sort of shocked me. I got into like a bit of a state of shock, because I remember during that time in 2003, I had this strange vision of her. And, you know, I thought I was for some reason randomly thinking it myself. It was just a very strange, random thought of her. And when they told me that, I remembered that I had actually spoken to her about this, but I probably dismissed her, you know, dismissed her account, because it just, even though, you know, I've seen these things, I still found a lot of this hairy fairy, you know. Didn't know what to believe. And I remember actually talking to her at a place once. I talked to her about it, and I asked her why am I having these experiences with them. And she just said something like, oh, maybe because they like her and that. But it wasn't really much of an answer. So I completely forgot about her incident. And she claims again that she was taken up into a UFO and the alien sticks her heart and that was it. Other incidences is in on my dad's side. But they're more fighting UFOs than anything else. Now, it's a strange place. My grandparents lived in Northcote in a street called Burt Street. And on the right at the end of Burt Street is this park. But when I was a kid growing up, it was actually this massive landfill. At one time, it was like the largest man-made hole in the southern hemisphere. And it was basically a quarry to build Melbourne and much of some of Australia as well. And one night, my step-grandfather tells a story of a giant cigar-shaped UFO just descending down into the bottom of the hole at night, one night. And he witnessed this with another one of our relatives. Another incident was I was just casually talking about my experiences at Burt Street with the family was there. And one of my aunties turned around and she said, I've seen a UFO. And I said, okay, where? Next, on the other side of the house is actually a cemetery, this old cemetery. And when she was a little girl, she was playing with one of my uncles, too young to remember. She saw a UFO hovering there. That's basically my story. Yeah.
Good stuff, Leslie. You certainly have had several experiences, you know, and they seem to go back a long way, and they, you know, they also involve family members.
Yeah, that's what I suspect in regards to, you know, mum's claims of sleep paralysis or having same experiences as mine. So this is why I've got really no choice but to dismiss sleep paralysis as being some sort of medical condition. I feel there's something more on top. Well, but the other thing is I've never felt that crushing sleep paralysis effect. I don't know, because it seems to be, sleep paralysis seems to be anything, you know, either vibrations, dread, some dude in your room with a hat, you know, or something else that's weird. So what is it? Still got no clue. I mean, that brain download, which I had, I really still know nothing. I'm just curious.
And when you've had experiences, you know, like you said, back in the 90s with your band member, you know, you witnessed the alien walking across the road, and some people that you've had these experiences with have no recollection of it.
Just completely forgot what he saw. Saw an alien just walk across the road. It's bizarre.
Yeah, it's the old alien apathy rearing its head again.
Yeah, it is bizarre. I always like the term using bozo rays, aliens sending bozo rays to your brain. I get that from Babylon 5. I hope you watch that TV show. In one of the episodes, all these people were being taken over, but this person who was immune to the psychic effects, you know, called it a bozo. Everyone's getting bozo rays. That's basically what it is. They turn our friends into bozos. Like, why?
Yeah, there's got to be a reason. There's got to be a reason to it.
Yeah, it's bizarre. The other thing is, I like the idea to try and be open about this as well. Whenever the subject comes up, you know, I'll always tell people, you know, yeah, this is what happened. And usually people, for some reason, they believe me. They don't actually believe that I believe. They actually believe what I'm saying. Because I know I'm not a bullshit artist. So, you know, I'm just pretty much straight in the middle, and all of a sudden, bang, out of the blue, I tell this story. But the thing, the reason why I do is not to convince people. I mean, there's no point. It's irrelevant. But actually to find other experiences. And I have found other experiences in that way. A recent one was in Casino, which I'm now suspecting is a UFO hotspot. If you look out towards Curacai, this guy, he saw when he was 13, saw a UFO outside of his bedroom window, like on the other side of the road, level to him, on the second level, if you could say. And he's also seen a glowing orb, a glowing fiery orb, fly over Casino. And the thing is, he says, you know, he's only told five people this. And the only reason why he told me because I'm not going to look at him like an idiot. You know, the term he used was, you know, he was, people will fob you off, you know. So it's really hard in that regard. And another guy while I was camping was with a group of hikers, and the subject came up, and I said, yeah, this is what happened to me. And he was quiet for the whole time, and then he turned to me and said, I was in my room on the computer and an alien came up, said something ominous and then left. And he just sort of looked at me and I thought, are you serious? And he goes, yeah, I'm serious. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, there's just only been a few in regards to people opening up compared to the vast amount of people I've told, but they're the ones that have sort of struck me as well.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I mean, the way you're going to find other people's experiences is if you speak to people, but, you know, it can go one of two ways. Either go that they're going to open up and say, this happened to me, you know, this happened to my father, whatever, or you're going to get people which kind of look at you all crooked. But yeah, I mean, you've obviously got to be in the right situation with people which you know you could probably tell, which definitely helps. But that's it. I mean, that's the way. By opening up communication with people, you find out all kinds of stuff, a lot of stuff which you'd never hear. I mean, it's easy for me because people reach out to me, but in a different situation, you know, whether it's a family setting or a bar area, you know, it can be a barbecue, it can be a bit of a different situation.
No, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely agreed. It's, do you always tell people, you know, speak out. So what if a few people are going to fob you off and make you look like an idiot? And, you know, unfortunately, it can be, these things can actually be used against you. It is. So I think we need to be a little bit more braver and, you know, say there is something going on, something weird is going on. You know, what is it? And the other problem is that it might be completely pointless for us to even try and research or even trying to work this out. The way I understand it, when I was having this brain download, it was the information that was in my head felt like it was going to explode. And I think it's what's actually going on is far more complicated, complex than we can ever realize. I don't think it's something simple. I think it's something incredibly complex is going on now. You know, I've been doing all this research and all this, getting advice. A friend of mine, you know, it was strange as well. He put me onto this guy named David Jacobs from Cardwell to back home. It was a long drive. I was listening to all of his interviews, and what struck me was when he was talking about people having picnics. He was giving reports of, you know, experiences having picnics. And I'm thinking maybe that's what I was seeing in one of the visions, and they made me forget most of it, or they may have asked me something. Because apparently people are, you know, what do you see the difference between, you know, you and us? Is there a difference? And, you know, people look and say, what? And then they'll say, see, there's no difference between us, or something like that. You know, I've tried hypnosis a couple of times. It doesn't work. Again, my mum came over recently and she tried a hypnosis test where they put a pin in front of your eyes and she lifted it up and she said, basically, I can't be hypnotized or it's difficult for me to get hypnotized. Something about my eyes not being able to roll back or something. And I tried probably a couple of months ago, hypnosis in regards to my experiences that I couldn't go under. And the previous time I had it before was at the dentist, but then that didn't work. Started drilling. I'm going, am I supposed to be hypnotized now? And then they just had to inject me with an anesthetic. So
yes, of course, it's going to make you difficult to retrieve any hidden memories that you do or any further details you have there.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite expensive as well. Like, you know, spent like something like $200 for a session. Nothing happened, but I don't blame them. I don't blame the, you know, hypnotist. And I should have been a bit more understanding, you know, that I can't be hypnotized. So what can you do?
Your mother doesn't charge you, does she?
She's not a hypnotist. She actually specialized in schizophrenia most of her life. So and she has diagnosed me. She says, I don't have schizophrenia. She also can't explain via her teaching what's going on either. She's got no clue, but she's not into, you know, UFOs and aliens and all that sort of stuff. But my account, she can't, she's got no answer for.
Right. So that's kind of what you know, what you're dealing with. Sometimes things can be too much for our brains to take, hence why a lot of stuff we don't remember, because we either can't process it or it's just not really good for us to know. I'm not saying it's always negative, just I think sometimes it'd be too much of an overload for us emotionally and physically.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. That's bizarre, that's all I can say.
It is bizarre. And
very bizarre.
And a lot of things don't make sense. You know, a lot of
a lot of strange interactions and things which are out of place. And yeah, it is, it can be crazy, but you've been having it for, you know, a long time now, pretty well adjusted. You know, I've spoken to some people which can be, you know, they're wrecks basically, you know, it has damaged, really has damaged them. But yeah, but that's good.
Yeah, I've got to the point where I don't care. I didn't care anymore. It's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
It went like that. It went from being scared shitless, which is in the beginning. And then like in about a year's time, I was like, oh, whatever, you know. Sort of noticing I'm not getting harmed. It's just bizarre what's happened. Very bizarre.
Yeah, that's what you got to look at. Once you get over the fear and the intrusion and everything which comes with that, and you're not being harmed. So, you know, where do you go? You can either just completely block it out, or you can kind of just go with it and go and say, you know, this is happening to me. This could be beneficial to me in some way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Again, it's bizarre.
Good stuff, Leslie.
All right, my friend. I think it's time that, you know, people need to get the message out. Don't be afraid. Yeah, just go, come on your show. Contact you, come on your show. You know, time we remove the stigma.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is important to remove the stigma, and the more people share, then that's going to start the ball rolling, you know, and more people are going to be sharing. It's important to hear these accounts, you know. Isn't that right, Leslie?
No, absolutely.
Leslie, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that all for our listeners.
Thank you, Nick, for putting me on.
You're more than welcome. All right, Leslie, take care of yourself. All right, keep in contact, and I'll talk soon.
All right, bye mate.
Take care of yourself, Leslie. Thank you. That is all for today. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Leslie for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.